presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
For those of you watching live, we have some news that just came in a couple of minutes ago. We'll address that. And I guess it's also probably important for me to say off the top of the program that most of our audience does not watch nor listen to the show live. For the people who listen to it, almost no one actually listens live because it's either delayed a bit on the radio or podcast form in kind of an on-demand version. Some of you listen many hours after we actually record it. For the video audience that does watch live, though, you're probably aware of some things now that the rest of our audience will know a whole lot more about by the time this day comes to an end and the 2019 recruiting cycle has officially come to a close. But just a couple moments ago, Jonathan Mingo, the four-star wide receiver that Georgia did host on official visit this past weekend, he stuck with his Ole Miss pledge. Now, I think the timing of this is pretty interesting. I'll spend 6 seconds on this, and then I want to move on and talk about the bigger name of the day, which is Kyer Lam. But as of yesterday, when Jeff Sintel was writing his piece at DogNation.com, listing all the times that all of the various UGA recruiting targets make their announcement, at that point, we still didn't know the official time for Mingo. Now, listen, I'm probably guilty of reading too much into too many things, but I'm going to read into this a bit, that by Mingo delaying his announcement for when he'd make his announcement, by not being all that particular with what time he was making his announcement, it sounds like he could have been waiting to hear something from another school besides Ole Miss, and maybe he didn't hear what he wanted to hear. Honestly, that's speculation. I obviously don't know anything deeper on that, but the timing of all that with the Mingo situation does appear to be pretty interesting to me. He didn't know as of, I guess, yesterday what time he was going to make his announcement, and now kind of first thing in the morning there in Mississippi, he's popping up and maintaining his pledge to Ole Miss, staying that commitment. So one way or another, that's a four-star receiver that Georgia hosted, and he is going to stick with Ole Miss, and we will watch the rest of these stories and see how they play out here today on Dog Nation Daily and Before the Hedges later on. It's Before the Hedges video specials. We're loaded and packed on the Dog Nation video channels all day long. DogNation.com, the website, is too. Now, as we said before, the big name today that we're paying the most attention to because he has generated the most conversation around Georgia over the last couple of weeks is the four-star defensive back Kyer Lam. As we talked to Jeff Sintel about a long time yesterday, there is this angst, maybe angst is the wrong word, almost a resignation on the part of Georgia fans that Elam may indeed go back to the school and actually sign up with the school that a lot of folks thought he was destined to do for a long time, the in-state school, Florida. He's got family ties to the Gators program, and maybe that's just ultimately what he chooses to do. Obviously, Georgia has worked very hard to make that be a difficult choice, and a lot of Georgia folks still are holding out hope that when Kyer Lam, the four-star defensive back, makes his decision later on this afternoon, he does indeed choose UGA. One of the guys, though, that would apparently be pushing Elam the hardest in terms of choosing Georgia would appear to be a recent Georgia signee. One of Elam's good friends, a partner in crime there, is defensive backs, four-star defensive back, recent UGA signee Tyreek Stevenson. Now, I don't know what to make of this. I'm probably, once again, going to be guilty of reading too much into this, but I did see where Stevenson had tweeted a message to Kyer Lam. Elam had said, hey, I'm going to be making my announcement at 1 p.m. In fact, on video, let's show the people this. Elam says, I'm making my announcement at 1 p.m. on Wednesday. I'm going to choose between Colorado and Georgia and Florida, and Miami's the other school there in the mix, and Tyreek Stevenson comes in with what's some good advice in really any stage of life. He says, make sure you're good with yourself before pleasing anybody else. So Stevenson says, hey, do this for you. Don't do this for the people who want you to go to a certain school. Make sure you make this decision for yourself. Now, obviously, I'm a partisan. My hope is that Stevenson's kind of message below the message there is, hey, you want to come to Georgia, so therefore do what your heart calls you to do. Choose UGA. Honestly, we have no way of knowing that, but that was Stevenson's message. It was kind of nice, though, to see Elam show some love back to Stevenson. He called him a brother on his own Twitter feed in response to that, so that's more, I guess, confirmation of the relationship that Stevenson and Elam do have, and that's not nothing as we head towards this decision for Kyer Lam here on this Wednesday, because if it is indeed true that Tyreek Stevenson has the ear of Kyer Lam, and if it is indeed true that he's trying to impart some wisdom and some advice to him, I do think we have a decent idea of some of the things that Stevenson might say to Elam based on some of the things that Stevenson has said about his own recruitment. This is a guy who has really loved Georgia. At one point in time, he told Jeff Sintel, and you may remember Jeff talking about this and writing about this, that Stevenson was tempted to commit to UGA like way back in the summer, way before his family kind of wanted him to, his mom kind of wanted him to. He was ready to push the commit button on the spot. He was at the reveal. He got a chance to cut the ribbon for that. He was really treated nicely and kindly and well when he took some unofficial visits to Georgia back in the summer. And that was kind of all Stevenson needed to see. He was seemingly kind of all dog all throughout that. Now, he got a strong push from his in-city school, Miami. So if anyone knows the pain that's involved with leaving the Sunshine State to go play college football, once again, Stevenson would kind of be that guy. So if you're looking as a Georgia fan for someone to kind of give some advice to Elam and maybe give him the advice you'd want it to be, well, Tyreek Stevenson's a pretty good guy on that, especially with one of the things that might matter to Elam more than anything else. Remember, Elam was close with Mel Tucker, the defensive coordinator of Georgia. Obviously, Stevenson presumably would like to have played for Mel Tucker as well. He's a really sharp defensive coach. But back in January, when Stevenson made his announcement of UGA, the subject of Georgia not having its defensive coordinator and no longer having Mel Tucker, that did not seem to be a major factor in why Stevenson made his decision or didn't seem to do a whole lot to dissuade him from choosing UGA. So let's go back in time. Let's listen to what Stevenson said then in the hopes that maybe some of this rubs off on Kyra Lam here today. Here's Tyreek Stevenson.
Why was it Georgia?
Just me being comfortable with Coach Smart and trusting what he says. You know, being comfortable with the team and the facility, so that's why you did. You know, with the Coach Tucker situation, they hit me up first, you know, they let me know what was going on. And they told me don't panic, you know, I trusted that, so them no factors right here.
Now I realize that there's a building being torn down and then being rebuilt right in the background of all that, so it's not easy to hear everything that Stevenson said, but he does use the word comfortable a couple of times. They made me feel comfortable. They made me aware of what's going on with Mel Tucker. I was never in the dark. He felt good about UGA. Kirby Smart in particular, whose defensive coaching prowess is well-renowned and specifically coaching defensive backs, he's got a terrific reputation. I think it's interesting that Stevenson mentions that, you know, purposely right up there near the front, that I felt comfortable at UGA even without Mel Tucker. The reason why that matters so much, as Jeff Sintel explained yesterday, that Tucker-Elam relationship was a strong one, and ultimately if Georgia loses this thing today with Elam, the Mel Tucker thing may just be the reason why.
I think Mel Tucker was big for Kyra Lam, especially because he had that NFL experience. His father played 8-9 seasons in the NFL. I think this is going to work good for Georgia in terms of Kyra Lam's not going to make his decision until February. He's going to not even take his officials until January. I think that's good because Georgia will need to have that guy in place certainly well in advance.
Somebody told me yesterday that this was Jeff's way of kind of letting us down easy, that that it is indeed one of these things where Elam is heading to Florida, and this was Jeff's way on Dog Nation Daily yesterday, or some of the stuff he's written recently at DogNation.com, of kind of letting Georgia fans, you know, kind of letting them down and, you know, kind of making it a little bit easier to get used to. No big fish hauled in here on this National Signing Day today. And maybe I'm just diehard, maybe I'm just naive, but I'm not quite ready to give up on that yet. I'm not quite ready to wave the white flag on this. I mean, I'm going to be sitting here right here in the studio today at 1 p.m. ready to talk about this. And my hope is that it ends up being good news for UGA. I won't deny there has been a good bit of Florida chatter seemingly coming, not coming from Elam, but coming around Elam as of late. But listen, as I said, this is one that Georgia has kind of gone hard on. They have fought this one tooth and nail, and I guess I'm still holding out hope that maybe the good guys might win this one before it's all said and done. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Live with you on signing day today, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're normally on the radio at noon every day on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We are preempted today, but we'll look forward to being back in the Classic City on the radio waves again tomorrow at our normal time at noon. Of course, in podcast form, those of you that listen to the Dog Nation Daily version of the podcast, we think of it as the on-demand way to hear our audio. We really appreciate that, whether it's the worldfamousdognation.com, the Apple Podcast Player, or everything in between. We just really appreciate you being a part of Dog Nation Daily here today. We're going to get Mike Griffith in a moment. Mike's had some really interesting reporting at DogNation.com as of late on Eli Wolf, the now, I guess we'll call him, former Tennessee tight end in the transfer portal looking for a new home. And the possibility is that Georgia could also be looking at Wolf. We'll let Mike tell us what he knows about that coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, and I'm actually getting someone running in here. We got breaking news here. Let me see what we got here. All right. I'm sorry. I clicked out of it. Sorry. We got some breaking news. Let me deal with this here live on our videos. George Pickens had, whoa, this is official? This is real. George Pickens has flipped to Georgia. As we're doing this live right now, George Pickens, the five-star wide receiver, we're just finding out about this. George Pickens has flipped to the University of Georgia in what can only be described as a huge surprise, given everything that's played out with that as of late. Obviously, Jeff Sintel has addressed this many times before. This was a complicated recruitment. My initial understanding was that Pickens was even supposed to make his announcement later on this afternoon, but now early in the morning, earlier than it had been anticipated, Pickens has made his decision, and Pickens has chosen the University of Georgia. So obviously everything we had planned on doing now is completely, completely changed, and there are a lot of big-time questions to be asked about what this means. You know, those of you who are regulars to the program, who watch it, listen to it every day, you know how much I wanted to see Georgia add this five-star wide receiver. I'm obviously over the moon that Georgia has stuck with Pickens and continue to make its push with Pickens. Pickens, you know, has taken a lot of visits, has had a lot of suitors, and Georgia has been right in there with him to get involved with this, and apparently they've won this recruiting battle. Now, there is still some work to be done, possibly, in terms of understanding all of this story, just given, and I can't pretend this is not out there. You can go to any message board, including our own forum at forum.dognation.com. You know about academic concerns when it comes to Pickens. That's not my news to break, but I'm not going to pretend that's not been out there and not been a part of this discussion. I have nothing to tell you on that. I have no idea what's going on. But here's the one thing I will tell you, is that Kirby Smart's not stupid. Kirby Smart would not be going down this road unless he had some sort of assurances that things were going to work out between UGA and Pickens. This is a game-changing wide receiver. This is the kind of wide receiver that puts George into the business of doing offensively some of the things that we all think George needs to do around here. The complement to what the Georgia running game is going to be, what the Georgia offensive line provides, what Jake Fromm is emerging into in this junior season, to go along with the addition of Dominic Blaylock, to go along with what we think is going to be a much better season from Demetrius Robertson. Pickens to Georgia is massive here. Connor, who reports this first? Who do I need to give some credit for? He just announced it. Yeah, he just announced that. So it just comes out as the announcement. It looks like George Pickens here is coming to the University of Georgia. I don't know if this is one of those things where we can get Jeff on the phone in a few minutes. We'll talk to Mike Griffith here, but also maybe get Jeff on the phone here too to discuss some of this kind of stuff. This is a major late-breaking deal as George Pickens chooses the University of Georgia. In fact, such a big deal. I'm going to break with our normal format here for a moment and kind of pop over to the Dog Nation comment sections, let some folks weigh in on this on both Facebook and YouTube. We'll get Mike on the phone here in a minute too and let him talk about some of this kind of stuff, and maybe we'll try to catch up with Jeff Sintel on this as a minute. We're also going to have later on today, and this works out perfectly, we're going to have Terrence Edwards in studio later on, the former Georgia wide receiver, so we'll get a chance to talk to Terrence about what he has seen from Pickens on film and why this is a special receiver for Georgia to be able to bring in. A major, major story and a major surprise as a five-star wide receiver George Pickens has flipped from Auburn to Georgia. This was going to be the centerpiece of the day for Auburn, who, you know, is still going to sign a lot of players, and some of those will be, you know, decent sized names. But the Pickens news here is massive as Georgia gets this done. Jeremy Lloyd said, did he flip from Auburn? Yes, he did. And I think coming off the weekend, you know, given some of the reports that were out there, after he'd taken a visit to Tennessee, I think the recruiting community at large, the best I can tell from following the online chatter, had felt like he left the weekend more solid with Auburn than he had been before. That Auburn was really that school that had looked like it had held on and won this recruiting battle. So this is a major surprise. Gary Shepard says, now bring on Elam and Scyther and Cross. Obviously saying that the Pickens move might end up being a bit of a momentum starter here for UGA. Brian Nally says, hope these wide receivers turn into bees. Certainly in the case of Pickens, I mean, I think the game speaks for itself. Shane Guy says, him and Elam and I'm good, BA. Yeah, no doubt about that. Leslie Stokes Waller says, so much for the naysayers, go Dogs. Yeah, this is just a massive, massive performance here from UGA. Joyce Stripling says, let the flipping party start. And yeah, that's indeed what this is going to be. Charles Kaiser also bringing up a good point that all of a sudden the presence of George Pickens may have just changed the calculus a bit for the 2020 quarterback, Robbie Ashford. And it's not too early to start thinking about those 2020 quarterbacks. Ashford's actually, by my last understanding, was getting ready to make his announcement coming up in March. I think Ashford's an important recruitment for UGA. He's also a baseball player. That's complicated, as you might imagine. He's apparently a pretty good baseball prospect. He's a real baseball player. So that's a pretty complicated deal. But the presence of Pickens, teammates at Hoover High School, would only seem to help things in that regard. So that's a pretty big deal all the way around. Jennifer Caldwell Sperling says, great way to start the day, and it really is a huge piece of news. Ricky Jett says the icing on the cake would now be Kyra Lam. Absolutely. Winfred Steinspring says, did he sign or just change his verbal? I mean, obviously the announcement is a verbal commitment. The signature is set to come after that. So no reason for me to think that the signature won't come. But obviously, you know, we'll wait for the official announcement from Georgia on this. The Kirby Smart tweet, the Go Dogs, is usually a signifier that the commitment was made. And then when the football Twitter account tweets out Pickens' name, then we'll know that he is indeed signed with UGA. That's typically the way these things go. Trent Scarborough says, all smiles. Yeah, it really is. And I wish I could find the comment that first mentioned this. Beyond the fact that I just really wanted George Pickens and really liked George Pickens from the get-go, beyond that fact, I'm glad to see signing day matter. You know, I'm an old school guy. I like these big news days. I like these moments when we all get together and hear some good news. In this case, it's so much a surprise that, you know, I don't even really know how much people were even looking towards Pickens today to make this decision, just because of kind of everything that had been said and done there. But in addition to my excitement over Georgia getting Pickens, I'm also just really excited about the fact that there's this big news here. I mean, I was really, I hate to say it this way, I was almost a little bit depressed that signing day could come and go and we wouldn't have one of those boom moments where we all go scrambling for our keyboards and start typing and reacting and talking about all of this. I was really kind of sad that signing day might be drama free. Well, it ain't drama free now, folks. It ain't drama free whatsoever. Alex Dean says BA says he was the final piece to our team. And Alex, I'm not going to change my tune on that. I firmly believe that George Pickens is the kind of player, the kind of prospect, because of what he is, the position he plays, and the athleticism that he brings to the table. I think he could very well be the missing piece between Georgia and the national championship. This Georgia program that has been so close for the last couple of years, knocking on that door, a threat to Alabama, but not getting over that hump. The presence of a guy like Pickens, who can now blow the top off of a defense. If you're a safety or if you're a defensive coordinator, good luck. I don't know what to tell you, because all of a sudden now you may look at a offensive line that's filled with, you know, five-star giants on their way to the NFL, into a backfield and see a guy like DeAndre Swift. And now you look at three wide receivers on the field and say, who do I not guard? Demetrius Robertson, himself a former five-star, George Pickens, or Dominic Blaylock, maybe all three of those guys in the field together at the same time, not to mention what J.J. Holloman was doing last year. But Pickens, for me, is just a different kind of prospect, with no disrespect to anything that Georgia has on its roster or anything that, you know, Georgia's doing with the rest of its 2019 class. Pickens, just a little bit different kind of athlete for me, and I think this is an incredibly, incredibly exciting addition here for UGA. And obviously, we'll kind of figure out the off-field part of this, and as I said before, you can't pretend that does not exist, but man, this is a pretty big piece of news here for UGA. We'll catch up with some of our Dog Nation folks on this in just a moment. Let me take a few more comments right now. Scott Hughes brings up a pretty good point. Now Georgia has the top two players in Alabama. Take that. I knew Clay Webb was the number one rated prospect. Was Pickens the number two rated prospect in the state of Alabama this year? Pickens now number one, the number one rated prospect in Alabama. How about that to a real blow to the Yellowhammer State, both to the two schools that Georgia doesn't have a whole lot of love for right now, Auburn and Alabama? That's a huge blow there on that. Let me go over to YouTube for a moment, and we'll keep taking these comments and reaction to what I think is a unbelievable story for Georgia, an exciting story. You know, they listen, as somebody in our comment section said earlier, Georgia set us up for this one. They acted like they had nothing going on. I know Kirby Smart spoke to some donors last night. He, to my understanding, didn't give much of a tip off on anything like this coming here today. They have really, really played it coy. Either they knew something all along and just didn't say, or they fought like mad to the very end to get a win they otherwise didn't know they were going to get. You can kind of describe this however you want to. But this, as we're doing the show right now, is a massive piece of news. We had heard some discussion that the Pickens announcement was moved up time-wise. We were talking about that before the show started. What does this mean? All the different scenarios. Obviously, you hold that back corner of your mind open to the possibility that maybe Georgia's going to swoop in here, that maybe Georgia's figured out a way to make all of this work and handle all of this. Unbelievable. Jermaine Dunbar Trucking says, BA, right off the beginning, we get good news. And yeah, boy, it's a really exciting day. It is a really exciting day. K9 Blue says, what's funny is Blaylock lost his five-star because of Pickens picked up his five-star, and now we have them both. And I do think that the Blaylock-Pickens tandem, I think, is a really interesting tandem with each other. Now, if you listen to, you know, a lot of folks around here, I know Connor Riley's made this point that he thinks that Blaylock's eventually going to be an outside receiver, but I know Pickens is an outside receiver. Can you imagine the difficulty of you know, having both those guys on the same side of the field and Blaylock working the inside, Pickens, you know, going deep route on the outside? That is a really, really tough matchup. It's a really tough matchup. And it's almost like you kind of get to the point where, you know, Blaylock, I know he's probably not quite as fast, but can do some of the things for Georgia that Jalen Waddle did for Alabama a year ago. This wide receiver core, I believe, was just massively upgraded by this. And I will, you know, say once again that I know there are those rumors out there of, well, you know, he's going to have a hard time with the academic stuff. As I said, I have got, I don't cover the academic beat. I don't know about school. I don't know about that kind of stuff, at least when it relates to George Pickens. I'm just going to assume that Georgia knows what it's doing here. I'm just going to assume that Kirby Smart's inside information on all of this is far greater than anything that you and I are going to be able to have, and that the real story, the as complicated as it might be, the actual facts on the ground, Kirby Smart's aware of, and you got to let him do what he's doing right now. GB2 says, this, along with our offensive line and running back, should lure a top quarterback in 2020. Yeah, it really should. And I think the 2020 quarterback recruiting is going to be one of the big stories. And all of a sudden now, this is this is very much in that realm. And Jonathan Tucker says, Jake Fromm getting a chance to work with George Pickens. He's going to love that. Love that. Manuel Infante also brings up a really good point on YouTube, saying this kid's going to be a beast overall, but definitely in the red zone. And I agree with Manuel on that. I think it's one of the things that Georgia last year probably did not do well enough. And overall, we've kind of been down the road on Jim Chaney a good bit. I was less critical of Chaney than many of you were. But the one area in which you probably could have pointed to some issues with Chaney is a lack of creativity, not just in the red zone, but the closer you got to the goal line, the worse the Georgia offense seemed to perform, because it seemed to get even more conservative the closer you got to pay dirt. Well, George Pickens does change that. He can do some of the things for you that Javon Wims did in 2017. I like throwing at the goal line as long as you're not throwing to the back corner of the end zone where it's, you know, kind of a low percentage play. I like using that big body of Pickens to almost post up like a basketball player and haul those in. I just think that's incredible. Marcus Bass says Pickens and Blaylock going to be a huge wide receiver threat to all the SEC. John Snellgrove, 1983. I appreciate the credit on this. He says BA just spoke it into existence. Now listen, I don't want to make too much of that, but I mean, y'all remember there was that one stretch where I'd ask Jeff first thing about Pickens every single day when he came on here. I brought on our buddy Benjamin Wolt from Auburn, tried to talk to him about this, and I told y'all then, I'm going to keep asking this question until I get the answer that I want. Well, I finally got the answer that I wanted, and it comes from the man himself, as George Pickens has chosen UGA. And this is just a really fun day. It's really fun. Fred Jones says Kirby's not finished. And, yeah, how about that for all of a sudden a very different attitude for the signing class? All of a sudden a signing day that people weren't looking that much forward to. I've heard a lot of negativity and naysaying. It's feeling a whole lot better and it's looking a whole lot better. I know we're busy doing a lot of things over there. You want to go ahead and get Mike on the phone? We'll talk to him about this a little bit, and then we'll try to see if we can round up Jeff here too in just a bit. A massive piece of news as Georgia gets the five-star wide receiver flipping from Auburn. It's George Pickens, and we're going to deal with this and talk to you. And we're kind of going to break with normal format just a little bit, because this is actually happening right here in the middle of the show. And I can tell by the comments you all want to talk about this. So we'll certainly do a lot of that on the program here today. Incredibly, incredibly exciting. Maurice Carter says, we never gave up, BA. You and I have been saying all along that we would flip Pickens, LOL. And yeah, here it has happened. All right, let me bring on Mike Griffith. We'll get some thoughts on from him on how he thinks Pickens could fit into the Georgia offense. And we'll keep your comments going on all this, too. It's good to have you with us today on Dog Nation Daily.
Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
All right, Mike Griffith, let me bring you in on a conversation we've had a lot over the last few days. I'm a big believer that the missing piece for Georgia with its offense, to really put it in that conversation with the Clemsons and the Alabamas and to a certain extent the Oklahomas, who've been mainstays in the college football playoff, was that elite 1,000-yard level receiver. You can go back and look at every college football national champion of the playoff era. They've all had a receiver, at least one, to get at least 900 yards, and Georgia's been missing that guy for the most part. Well, five-star receiver George Pickens from Hoover, Alabama, just flips his commitment from Auburn to Georgia, set to sign now with the Bulldogs, and assuming this all works out and assuming that Pickens is on this field for this team this upcoming fall, I think that Pickens could be that game-changing player. I'll ask you first with the wide receiver spot. Do you agree with me that the big-time impact wide receiver was something that Georgia was missing and certainly something that Georgia could use for 2019?
And I just got asked that question yesterday, and I think skill position depth, you know, was an area that concerned me. I still would like to see Georgia with that 220, 230-pound power back, but, you know, we're getting pretty picky here. But, yeah, nailing down a big-time five-star receiver, I mean, Kirby Smart is absolutely delivered. I mean, this is a fastball right down the middle, called third strike. I mean, whatever analogy you want to make, I mean, you just hit one out of the park. This is the flip that makes the second signing day, to me, newsworthy and exciting for Georgia fans. I mean, if you woke up and thought, boy, what could Georgia really use today? What would be some great news? You'd say a five-star receiver. Here it is.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, Mike, I know you follow this stuff closely. And, you know, when you heard that Kirby Smart wasn't planning a press conference today, part of that was, you know, probably related to the defensive coordinator. He's not ready to announce that. But I think a lot of Georgia fans, when they found out there'd be no official events at Buttsmere Heritage Hall, I think for a lot of Georgia fans, that almost seemed like an indication that maybe Georgia wasn't expecting anything too big today and that maybe today was one of those days of, you know, ho-hum. I guess Georgia's already closed that 2019 class. So, once again, Kirby, who's pretty good at manipulating news cycles and kind of managing expectations, you know, once again he kind of zigs one way and then zags the other. He set up Georgia fans to expect no surprise and then delivered the biggest possible surprise of all, did he not?
There's no question, and that's how recruiting works. I mean, this is a art that's done in the shadows. I mean, a lot of times you don't want to advertise. We don't know how long this has been in the works. We don't know if he was a silent flip. We really aren't sure. I mean, sometimes these kids wait till the last minute. Sometimes it's planned, and other times it's not. You know, when I talked with you a few weeks ago about Dwan Mathis, I mean, here's a kid who, before going in to announce on early signing day between Ohio State and Georgia, talked to the Ohio State head coach and said, "Are you talking to Justin Fields?" And was told no. He was told no. And had to go to Twitter and decide for himself. It comes down to the last minute with some of these kids, and there's so many staffs and coaches that mislead, and ultimately a kid's got to make a tough call. And a lot of times, common sense is where it goes. And you look at the position, and you see where you can fit in, and you use your brain instead of listening to what the coach is telling. And you look at Georgia BA, and to your point, where can they use an impact player? Where could a five-star get on the field right now at Georgia? The answer on offense is at wide receiver.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Mike. And I won't ask you to do any kind of, you know, specific commenting on any kind of academic rumors that might be out there, but I will obviously bring that up with you because that's what the, you know, message board chatter has been. And, Mike, I'm pretty sure you're going to join me in saying is that Kirby Smart knows way more about any of that stuff than any of us do. He knows the specific true facts on the ground. And Kirby Smart, I don't think, would be manipulating this situation or attempting to manipulate this situation if he didn't have a pretty good understanding of what's happening here. I think this is one of those things where if you're a fan, you've got to assume that whatever concerns may exist on the forum at forum.dognation.com, Kirby Smart's well beyond that with his true understanding of what Pickens' academic situation might be.
No, there's no question, you know, and, you know, worst-case scenario. And, again, I don't know. Just to be very clear, I have no information on the academics, none whatsoever. But playing it out, worst-case scenario, you place the kid for a year and you get back a five-star. And you plant a seed and a tree grows. Worst case scenario, I'm not even saying that's the scenario at all, because we're looking at a guy that, you know, clearly has the talent to make an immediate impact. You know, transcripts are what they are. There's a lot of recovery credit programs in place. A lot of it has to do with this, the student athlete, you know, and his willingness and his ability to do what it takes. Obviously, you know, not an early enrollee situation, I don't believe here, BA, but an impact guy, a worthy investment, I think so. And I just don't see a downside to this. I think this was a position, an itch that needed to be scratched, and George is showing, you know, hey, there's still five-star you. I mean, RBU, yes, but five-star you. Meanwhile, I don't even know if Florida has a five-star on their roster right now.
You love the idea of that side-by-side comparison, what's going to be going on there. And you mentioned Florida. I mean, you know, this is one of those things where a program like that's trying to build some recruiting momentum. Tennessee was hoping to celebrate some five-star Wednesday. It may even get a chance to do that with Darnell Wright and maybe some other big names they may bring in. There's obviously this attempt to creep up on Georgia from some of these Georgia rivals. And, Mike, I don't mind telling you, I do this show every day. Georgia fans have been in a little bit of a bad mood now for a while. You know, there is still the bad taste of how the 2018 season ended and some of the confusion about the coaching searches and what's going on there. I mean, it's weird to say, given all the success that Georgia's enjoyed, but, Mike, I kind of think that Georgia entered today really a fan base that needed some good news, and it kind of had sort of felt like it had been a while since we'd really waved the flag around here and celebrated some good news. And today, if Georgia hadn't gotten this, I'm not telling you it would have been the end of the world, but it would have been a little bit of an opportunity lost. So from my perspective, Mike, it's kind of nice to be a part of a fan base again today, and I'm watching all this unfold on our comment sections. It's kind of nice to watch this fan base today have something to celebrate again, because it sort of feels like it's been a minute since Georgia's had a chance to really get really excited about something.
Yeah, no, I've had limited contact with Kirby Smart, and here's what you know about Kirby Smart, and because he's not out there and he's not talking and you don't see him, you know, I understand how it's easy to forget, but Kirby's a guy that's not going to get beat twice, you know, by a loss. And he said it last year after the national championship game, he wasn't going to get beat twice by that game. He's not going to get beat twice by the end of the season. You know, Kirby is a guy that has his act together. Yes, he's had his hands full in this offseason. Let's be honest. The transfer portal thing, it's a brand-new phenomenon, and the whole Justin Fields thing was an absolute whirlwind that played out on the national stage with Georgia losing a five-star prospect. There's no positive way to spin it other than to say it's disappointing to think that Georgia will no longer have a five-star backup quarterback. I don't know how realistic that was ever going to be, even before the ease and the rules that were passed for transfers to be able to leave as easy as they can right now. So that was a bit of a downer. The Sugar Bowl was obviously a disappointing defeat. I don't take too much from that when your best linebacker, your best DB, and arguably your most important D lineman don't play. Don't put a whole lot of stock into that. But the SEC championship game was a disappointment. So to your point, there had been some disappointing things playing out. Then you lose both of your coordinators. Now, the Mel Tucker, I think everyone knew, was just a matter of time. But still, that's a celebrated veteran coach, and you wondered what Kirby would do. We're still waiting for some sort of announcement. I can tell you that from a position coach standpoint, Charlton Warren is an absolute home run. I've seen this guy work. I know all about him. He's the yin to Kirby's yang. Perfect fit. Just need to figure out who the coordinator. Offensive coordinator, a lot of tears weren't shed there. And as I've said before, it's possible that it was a good hire for Tennessee and also a good transaction for Georgia. James Coley is clearly ready.
Well,
now,
let me jump in on that. Let me jump in on that for a second.
Here's where we are now, though, B.A. Not only is Coley ready to take over the offense, but Coley assisted Hank Cortez on this recruitment and beat Rodney Gardner and beat T. Martin and beat Tim Chaney for this recruit. So you're right. This is a victory, that Georgia fans can and should celebrate.
Sorry to cut you off, but I did want to jump in on the James Culley part of this, because that's what a lot of folks in our Facebook comment section are talking about right now. Flapjack Williams, Rick Gulley, this new look, I'm going to presume slightly new look with James Culley as OC instead of Jim Chaney. I do think he is going to face some pressure here this fall, as James Bryant also said, to mix in the passing game a bit more and get these guys more involved. Now, Mike, as a fan, I still want to see Georgia dominate with its offensive line and utilize its running backs. That's the bread and butter for this team. But that doesn't mean there isn't also an opportunity to blow the lids off defenses with wide receivers like this. And specifically for James Culley, first year as the play caller at UGA, I mean, he is going to have some pressure to do that, is he not?
Well, it's, you know, let's reel it in and let's remember one thing. The head coach is the de facto offensive and defense coordinator. And Kirby Smart is going to go in that room and tell James Culley what type of personality he wants for that offense. Let's not get it. Let's make sure we're very clear on that. It's not like Kirby Smart goes down to the end of the hallway and says, y'all figure out what you're going to do on offense. Kirby Smart stands in front of the room, and he told us last fall that this will be the identity of our offense. This is what Georgia always will be. Georgia will always be able to run the ball. Georgia will always dictate the run. We thought going into last year, when I say we, I include Eric Dyer, you can go back to his comments on this, that Georgia would have to increase the run-pass ratio. I don't think Georgia was ready to do that early in the season. If we remember the first half of the season, we remember the issues that Jake Fromm had on third down, and that it took him a little while to get comfortable with new go-to receiver Riley Ridley. He wasn't in the same stride as he was the year before with Javon Wentz. He just wasn't. Now, Jake Fromm is a third-year quarterback. He's got a much better grip. I don't know if Kirby is going to flip the switch and open it up more. I do think we're going to see more up-tempo. I do think we'll see more tempo from Georgia. I think it would make sense when you look at the personnel that Georgia has to throw the ball more, especially when you consider the receiving ability of DeAndre Swift and James Cook out of the backfield. So that makes sense to me. But ultimately, it comes down to what Kirby Smart wants. I think James Culley is completely capable of turning it up. Talking with Isaac Nauta two nights ago, Isaac believes there's going to be more of a wide-open offense. Now, that's just Isaac talking with me, right? It comes down to what the head coach wants. But if I had to bet, I would agree there will be more passing. I don't know if it's going to be wide open, but I do think we're going to see Georgia open it up and throw the football more this year than they have the past two seasons.
Mike, we appreciate you spending some time with us. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you at DogNation.com. You had some great reporting on Eli Wolf earlier. That's going to be a fun story to watch in the days ahead as Georgia tries to figure out its depth of the tight end position. But we also appreciate you weighing in today on the big news of the moment. The five-star wide receiver George Pickens has flipped from Auburn to UGA, and the Dogs get themselves a good one. Mike, thanks for your perspective on all of this.
Appreciate being.
Good stuff there from Mike Griffith. We've got some video, actually, I want to show you in just a moment. Connor Riley did a good job of capturing the video of Pickens and his announcement. We'll show that to you in just a moment. Let me get a couple comments from YouTube before we do Pickens video coming up here in just a moment. First of all, Joe Self in the YouTube comment section brings up a really good point that all of a sudden the total score for Georgia's recruiting class is going to end up looking pretty interesting. I think mathematically it was going to be a pretty major hill to climb for Georgia to leap ahead of Alabama for the 24/7 sports composite number one. But in terms of the total score, well north of 300 now, this is going to end up being, I mean, a pretty historically good class in terms of the overall score, even if it doesn't quite rank as number one. So I think Joe brings up a really good point about that. Will Scott says, how much does Gus Malzahn hate Kirby Smart right now? Yeah, Will, you thought Malzahn hated Kirby back after that fake field goal deal in the second half against Auburn? That ain't nothing on the way he's probably feeling about this right now. And you know, for everything that Auburn will probably do today, they're going to sign a lot of guys in all likelihood and probably move back into the top 10 before it's all said and done. At least that's my assumption based on how the math's going to work out for them. Below the surface, they're still dealing with some turmoil. They just lost a recruiting coordinator to North Carolina, just hired a new director of recruiting here this week, a guy that had worked with Malzahn before. But even so, below the surface, even though things seem to have calmed down with Gus Malzahn, there's still a little bit of turmoil there, making changes to a recruiting staff, someone leaving Auburn to go to North Carolina to work with 100-year-old Mack Brown. That just seems kind of weird. I do think that for Malzahn, who's on slippery turf there at Auburn, not getting George Pickens, I think that could put him in a bit of a precarious situation moving forward if that offense does not look to be in good shape, especially for how it could also impact the 2020 class as well. Something else that AM Fitness brought up. I told y'all on Friday that we drove to Athens on Thursday with an agenda. I try to be as very clear about that kind of stuff as I can. I wanted to talk to A.J. Green about the wide receiver situation at UGA. And I wanted to find out from a guy who has done what all these guys want to do. Pickens and, you know, Blaylock and anybody else that you want to mention. The road that they want to travel down is the one that A.J. Green did travel down. He was big-time high school player. He showed up at Georgia. He did his thing for 3 years, and he's made a gazillion dollars in the NFL. That's what they all want to do. And we asked AJ, you know, AJ, can a receiver still do that at Georgia now, given the way this team runs the football and given the devotion this program has to the running back position? And A.J. Green said, yes, yes, because safeties are worried about something else. They're not going to bracket you. They can't do that because you're leaving too many other options open. They're just going to gash you with the running game. If you come over here and you know, try to put multiple guys keying in on me, you're opening up another part of the field. And he said, absolutely, it ought to be the place that big-time five-star receivers want to come. Well, AM Fitness says, whether he heard him say that or not, George Pickens has answered that call to say, sign me up to be the outside receiver and take big-time advantage of a program that's going to have a lot of offensive weapons and a lot of depth. That's a really cool thing to see. Now, video from earlier from Alabama, the state of Alabama. So we have WRBC TV able to bring this up. Here's George Pickens getting ready to make his announcement. This is not from Hoover High School, my understanding is. It looks like that's from a gym or something like that off campus. So Pickens being kind of flanked by the Hoover Buccaneers helmets, kind of a cool looking look there, getting ready to make his discussion, make his announcement. The hat comes out, and look at that. How about that, y'all? Come on now. Come on. Look at that Georgia hat. Look at that right there, and the smiles all around for him, as in somewhat surprising fashion, he has made the choice of the Georgia Bulldogs. Pretty impressive stuff there for George Pickens, making the choice of UGA. And just an incredible, incredible moment for this program as Pickens is in the fold here. And there'll be some complicated stories between now and by the time this all thing's said and done. I'm not going to pretend that it's not going to be. I'm not going to pretend there isn't, you know, some, you know, stuff still left to know. I'm going to be very eager to read the stuff that Jeff Sintel writes about all of this. As I said before, I won't pretend that the academic rumors haven't been out there, but for me, that's all they are rumors, because none of us are, you know, in the counselor's office at Hoover High School. We don't know what the transcripts look like. We don't know any of that kind of stuff. It's been such a big topic of conversation off the record. It'd be foolish for me to pretend that it doesn't exist right now, but it's also not my place to say one way or another how that's going to work out. As I said, Kirby Smart's got a limited number of scholarships. He knows what he's doing, and if this is the way that he wants to use one of his, I'm going to assume that he's got a pretty good plan for all of this, and we will see how that all that plays out here. So that's going to be a really, really interesting thing to see. All right, maybe can we try to get Jeff on the phone? Is he around? Can we try to get him on the phone? So he's riding right now, so he's kind of locked up, and he's covering all of this. We'll have him later on today for Before the Hedges. And I also said, I want you to be aware of this, we're going to have Terrence Edwards in studio later on today, too. So that's going to be a great opportunity to react to what Pickens is as a player. We'll get a chance to talk to Terrence Edwards about all of that. So kid liking the Georgia hat from Pickens. Yeah, I like that. The red bill on that, looking really good. Good stuff all the way around. Just terrific stuff. John Snook says, is he IMG? No, he's Hoover High School, and that's obviously the powerhouse program in the state of Alabama, and that's a school that never slows down when it comes to putting elite players in college football. Think about Robbie Ashford, the 2020 quarterback. That's a quarterback that George has been hoping to be in on, and the presence of Pickens would presumably help with Ashford, and I don't know. What I've seen from Ashford, I really like him. That's another complicated recruitment from the standpoint that he's a good baseball player, but... if this is a 2-for-1 package deal, you can sign me up as being pretty happy about that. Chevron Hannah says, good morning, Dog Nation. And yes, we got Pickens with a lot of explosion emojis after that. So it's a really good thing to be able to see. Sightseer 77 says, man, what a difference 24 hours makes. Kirby Smart does it again. He sure does. Stephen Battle says that a Kyrie Lam is next. And obviously that's what you can hope for. And if those are the two scholarships that Georgia uses today on an Elam and a George Pickens, I'd say that's a day's work right there, my friends. I would say that is a day's work for you if that's indeed what Georgia does. Brett Scyther will also go at 130. The honest truth is I don't know what to expect from that. I've heard 9 million different things on that, but we shall see. I guess there's also a chance that Georgia could still sign three, a Scyther, a Elam, and a Pickens, so we'll see. John Snellgrove once again says that I spoke this into existence. Listen, I tried. The only thing I can do is come on here and tell you what I think. And as much as Georgia's got a lot going for it, I did really feel like Georgia could use that big-time wide receiver. And assuming Pickens is lacing up playing this fall, I feel like they got themselves one now. I do feel like that for sure. And Ricky Murillo says, B.A., who's your top choice now? Well, for me, it is Elam. I do want Elam. I feel like in any year, you know, a cornerback of Elam's caliber, and I'm assuming that he is a true cornerback at the college level, you're going to want that guy no matter what. And to be this close to the finish line with Elam, it's just a lot easier to win this battle right now than it is to start fresh and new with somebody for a future recruiting cycle. So I'd love to see Georgia go ahead and stockpile that additional talent in its defensive secondary. Let me go back over to Facebook. I'll get a few more Facebook comments here, too. Really good stuff. John William Adams is with the number one player in Bama. What was Pickens rated? John William Adams was talking about that success in the state of Alabama. Incredible stuff with Clay Webb and incredible stuff with George Pickens. So really the two top players in the state of Alabama, Georgia's gotten both of them. Let me go ahead and set the schedule for the rest of the day here. When the Pickens news broke, we were in the middle of doing our Energy Solutions of Georgia around the doghouse. So let's go back and take a look at this. So here is what to expect for the rest of the day, and good reminder that we didn't finish doing that earlier. Here are the times to know for the rest of the day. Mark Anthony Richards, a guy that we had talked about at one point in time, is going to go at noon today. I think he was heading towards Auburn all the way around. I think he probably becomes a little bit more important for Auburn now on the heels of this George Pickens news. So expect that to drop around noon. But I think the expectation has been for a while that he's going to go towards Auburn. And now Auburn probably needs him more than they do than they did before. Kyrie Lam is 1 p.m. We're hoping to have some Dog Nation coverage of that for you coming up later on today, one way or another. We'll try to tell you what we know about that on the Dog Nation video channels. Around that same time is Javon Shepherd. That's the 4-star offensive lineman from Texas. He visited Georgia. I don't think many people think he's going to Georgia. I'd be interested to watch and see if Texas A&M can win this battle away from Texas. I think that the Longhorns are probably the point spread favorite, but A&M winning this could do kind of an interesting blow for that battle for in-state supremacy for the state of Texas. But Shepherd did visit Georgia, but I don't believe that's where he's going. Then you got Brett Scyther at 1:30. Scyther obviously could pick Georgia. I think there's maybe a slight chance that he will, but I think that Alabama's probably to be taken seriously. I know that Jeff Sintel told us yesterday on Dog Nation Daily that Scyther did not visit Penn State this weekend. That's a big point of interest in that recruitment, the fact that he didn't take the Penn State visit. So this may be there for Georgia, and it's obviously a position of need. It just comes down to, does Georgia prefer the high school tight end right now, the traditional signee, or the graduate transfer route? I know you've probably read what Mike Griffith has written about Eli Wolf at DogNation.com. The other name that you saw there was Nick Cross, the 4-star defensive back who took a late unofficial visit to Georgia last week. At this point, I don't really know too many people who think Cross is coming to Georgia, so for pardon the bad pun, but you might be able to cross that one off. Nonetheless, though, those are the times of note for the rest of the day. It's Around the Doghouse here, brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, providing foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space encapsulation. They also offer a lifetime of support. So whether you've got a cracked foundation, a wet basement, or a damp crawl space, you can have one of their qualified professional technicians come out to your home. It's the only foundation repair the Dog Nation would trust, because they are the only ones that I know that has a full-time engineer on staff. So the way to get in touch with them is really easy to remember. Simply dial 678-ESOG now. That's 678-ESOG now. And one of the very smart people that works for Engineered Solutions of Georgia will get your house back up in working order. They'll get that foundation and everything else taken good care of for you. Okay, let me jump back in and get a few more comments, and we'll kind of roll through with a lot of this kind of stuff today. And we'll probably do an official end of the podcast here in just a moment, although this has been a very different kind of podcast. Chris Branham says not a lot of people thought Pickens was coming. That may be a reference to my, I guess, lack of enthusiasm at the chances of Nick Cross choosing UGA later on today. And I guess that's a fair point. If Georgia can pull this with Pickens, then who knows what could happen the rest of the day. That's probably a fair point. Patrick Lindsay says, I love flips. It's a 2-for-1. And I'm assuming Patrick means not only does Georgia get a player it wants, but it gets to throw a haymaker in Auburn's direction. And I don't mind that. I don't. I know Kirby Smart has said before that he doesn't like flips. He doesn't like doing that kind of stuff. And we assume that he's putting on a bit when he says that. For fans, there is nothing more fun than that. There is nothing more fun. You give a fan the opportunity to flip a player away from a rival school, it's one of the biggest, most exciting moments can happen in really any college football calendar year. So Georgia got itself a pretty good looking flip here today. Robert Reynolds says, love the Pickens flip. Let's get that commitment on Elam now too. And yeah, I mean, you're starting to see that as a theme emerge in the comment section just a bit. This possibility that maybe Pickens is the start of some momentum for Georgia. All of a sudden, what was thought to be kind of a sleepy ho-hum signing day turns to be anything but that, for sure. Josh Houston says, Kirby bringing the heat. And, listen, Kirby does his thing, for sure. Todd David Brown says, one bourbon, one scotch, one beer, a reference to the country song, having a record year. And right now, that's what Georgia would appear to be doing. J. Paul Wilson says, Kang has landed 15 5-stars the last 3 years. What an amazing number that is. And for Kirby, you know, this is one of the things that keeps him so popular with Georgia fans. And, you know, college football is a tricky business where, you know, rabid fan bases like Georgia, when the mob mentality sets in, there's this expectation for something close to perfection. That's just a fact of the matter. Well, Kirby knew that when he took the job. I mean, remember, Kirby was defensive coordinator in Alabama for a long time. He could have chosen to go anywhere. You know, he didn't just have to come coach his alma mater. He could have gone and coached somewhere else where the level of expectation would be a little smaller, and the just intense, crazy, insatiable appetite for success would be a little smaller. He signed up for the Georgia thing knowing full well that it was going to be a miserable, miserable chore if he didn't deliver on everything that Georgia fans want. Well, so far through 16, 17, 18, his fourth recruiting cycle here in 2019, so far he is just absolutely providing everything that Georgia fans have wanted and needed from a recruiting standpoint. You know, I remember a lot of years, no disrespect to any, you know, predecessor, but a lot of years where, you know, signing day was one of those things where you were hoping for that late flurry. You were hoping for that chance to get in with some action on a late guy, and it just didn't happen. You know, that guy ended up going somewhere else. Well, now it's Georgia who provides the energy and the excitement in the late stage of the signing period, and that is a great, great thing to see. All right, so I was hoping we could catch up with Jeff Sintel. Looks like we're going to be able to do that right now. We don't have to worry about any kind of music or anything. We'll just bring on Jeff and get some thoughts from him quickly. I know he's busy. He wants to cover all this and get a lot of written stuff out. Jeff, I do appreciate you taking a minute, though, to join us by phone, as we're obviously trying to play catch-up on what is a great piece of news for us here. Obviously, tremendous excitement from the audience, from me, about the addition of 5-star wide receiver George Pickens. What was your reaction to the news when it came out a little earlier this morning?
Hey, Brandon, hey, hope everybody's well. I guess everybody's excited. No bumper music. You're not even going to buy me dinner first, man.
No, we're just going to jump right into it.
So, first of all, this is one that surprises a lot of people. It surprises a lot of people close to Pickens and a lot of people that do this for a living. The second thing to think about there is I am told, this is new information, he is going to sign with Georgia. That's not just a commitment and wait on things academically. I am told he is going to sign with Georgia. So that will definitely be an issue where everybody will watch. They will watch to see when Georgia tweets out a confirmation here, and they will also watch to see. It's going to be a storyline, guys. The simplest way I can say that is, when does George Pickens enroll at the University of Georgia? That's the main thing to think about right now. A lot of quick things to unpack. I know everybody's trying to get instant reaction coverage. The things to think about with Mr. Pickens right away is looks like Georgia does get one of the prize receivers off Cam Newton's 7-on-7 team. It was just George Pickens and not Jaden Hazelwood. Another thing to think about is Georgia has went into the state of Alabama and taken both Clay Webb and George Pickens away from that hornet's nest of SEC West flagship schools. That's the number one and the number two players there out of Alabama. Now, this guy's big, about 6'4", 6'5", very fiery, very temperamental player. What he's going to give you is an incredible catch radius, a guy that's going to go up and get it, and he's going to give you all of that without maybe some true burner speed. He's about a 4.75, can go up and get the ball and can make great plays on the ball. Comes from one of the best programs in the country out of Hoover High in Alabama. He starred for at least the last two seasons there. Was a long-time commitment to Gus Malzahn. He committed to Auburn back in July of 2017. And one of the things that always struck me about George is he always kept putting Georgia in there as maybe that third place and fourth place team regarding his recruiting. Kept going to Georgia, took a late visit to Tennessee, took a late visit to Georgia as well, took a late visit to Miami. Everybody got a little serious last night when they heard those reports about him taking a quick visit back to Auburn after taking the official visit to Tennessee. Most interpreted that is that he's telling Gus all's good, yada, yada, yada. The reports that are coming out of Hoover, Alabama was like basically he told him he'd made up his mind and he was going to choose Georgia. So right away, Georgia, another thing to think about, everybody counts up those five stars. The Bulldogs now have five stars in the class of 2019 for this cycle.
So let me ask you this, and I don't mean to be too blunt, but there's no point in beating around the bush. If Pickens, for whatever reason, is not able to lace up for Georgia in the fall, what is Georgia risking by doing this?
Well, they're basically risking a scholarship on the fact that he can get ready. And now there's different things with this as well. I'm going to take a deep breath here. Without jumping into his transcript totally, he does need to do some work. I'm told he can do that type of work to become eligible with a good spring, a great spring in the classroom. If people that follow Georgia football know, there's a couple of different ways here with junior colleges. Georgia has seen this season, Georgia has taken four junior college prospects. That's as many as Georgia took in the Kirby Smart era in the previous three recruiting cycles. Is it a one-year stop? Is it a one-semester stop in junior college? Is that what he might need? That sort of turnaround has been really good for the Bulldogs in the past with a guy like Devontae Wyatt and also a guy like Tramell Walthor. The thing is, everybody that will be advising George Pickens going forward is they want him to get it done now. They wanted to qualify coming out of Hoover High School and not have to go the junior college route. Everybody's going to say things about sign and place. Everybody's going to say things about junior college, wait and see. But what the Bulldogs have done here is I'm not going to call it a dice roll, but they've thought maybe the one or two dangling scholarships they have left, that might be better to spend it somewhere else and try to reel in one of the true great receivers in the country. There's no other way to slice that. He is a top five receiver, and if you also look at the tally there at the receiver board, Georgia has gotten the nation's number four receiver and the number five receiver in this class now. When they went all the way back to 2009 and Marlon Brown, the last time the Bulldogs pulled a top five wide receiver for their offense.
Let me ask you kind of a convoluted question. So I was a much better student in college than I was in high school. I don't think that's all that uncommon. You just grow up as you get a little older. I've also heard plenty of football players say that, as weird as it might sound, the regimen of school and football was actually a little easier while you were playing football than it was apart from football, when you had a lot more free time and therefore had some choices you had to make. That the football calendar, the football schedule, takes choice out of your own hands, and all of a sudden now you're getting schoolwork done because someone's there basically holding your feet to your fire. What all this is a lead up to is, while Pickens is enrolled at Hoover High School, is there any help that Georgia can provide him academically, or is this all hands off until he, you know, gets that piece of parchment in his hand and he moves on from the Buccaneers? Is there anything that Georgia can do for him academically right now while he's still a high school student?
Well, don't know all the answers to that question because I'm not privy to his exact transcript. The things that can be done here is he can. There's credits that can be taken online. Really, the major issue is the GPA and the test score on the sliding scale. The higher you score on the ACT with the test score, the lower the GPA in those core courses have to be. I think the things, you know, you're kind of bringing up here is I wouldn't worry about a young man staying eligible with their coursework once they get to Georgia. I've heard legions of families tell me in the past that there's so many people whose jobs depend on keeping players eligible, keeping players progressing towards a degree. There's so much academic support there. Lots of families think it is very hard for their sons not to excel academically with all the offerings there are at Georgia. The thing I think about here is it's a yellow flag for me, and I'm going to call it a yellow flag. When a young man is in high school football and he's having trouble qualifying, when a lot of times, this is a very simplistic view, but if you do your work, you show ambition and initiative, you come to class, you turn your projects, you're diligent a lot of times, when the effort is shown and progress is made, it's very hard for young people with these opportunities not to get qualifying scores in the educational system. I'm not trying to break any barriers here right now, but happens a lot of times when a student shows initiative and is working and is more than meeting someone halfway, grades sometimes are usually easier to come by in high school, not just for athletes, but there's a sense there. It's an unspoken sense that there's an opportunity for young people that would slip through their fingers if they're not providing great effort. That small educational lesson I'm going to put to the side there, and the only more reason I bring up that point there is I think when you show those difficulties in high school, that's a yellow flag for me about a prospect being able to handle all the rigors and all the demands of college football and being a student athlete at an institution like the University of Georgia.
I want to get back to him on the football field in just a second, Jeff, to close out our conversation. Let me do one thing before we get there. And you know I'm greedy, and much of our audience kind of views life the same way that I do. And we've already fielded several questions already today about how does this impact the recruitment for Robbie Ashford, the 2020 quarterback, his teammate there at Hoover High School, who's expected to make his announcement in March. This can't hurt, right?
Yeah, Brandon, that's where your mind goes. I know it goes there that way, my man. Got to help a lot. Ashford's supposed to make his decision in March. Obviously, the fact that that would be one of his guys that is already there at Georgia providing the roadmap, getting a chance to throw to somebody he knows very well at a program he already likes a lot. It sounds like Ashford is down to Georgia and Auburn. There's maybe a little bit more thinking left to go. Maybe another more look at a school here, a school there. Ashford always also really likes Clemson, but as we know, there's a talented five-star passer in the state of California that is also making some pretty good Brandon Adams five-star prospect googly eyes towards Clemson as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So let me finish up with this, Jeff, and obviously we'll get a chance to read a lot from you on this at DogNation.com and hear you more on this subject today on Before the Hedge, is presented by Kroger a little bit later on this afternoon. But we've been watching a lot of the film of George Pickens on video today, and I've obviously watched this film a lot in the past. What I look at when I see Pickens is the kind of guy that can fit into that conversation of what Justin Ross is for Clemson, what a host of guys are for Alabama, including Jerry Jeudy, what Jaden Hazelwood might turn out to be for Oklahoma. I see George Pickens as a receiver in that conversation and a guy that I don't think necessarily from a talent standpoint takes a back seat to those guys. How do you feel like Pickens compares to the prospects, both soon to join college football and currently in college football at the receiver position? Are you as high on him as a player as I am?
Well, I mean, I think it's a different type of excellence. I mean, you look in the NFL, there's a Julio Jones model of elite receiver. There's a DeAndre Hopkins model. There's guys in the past like a Megatron, Calvin Johnson, that were also ridiculously effective. I think George Pickens in a Georgia uniform is going to be a problem for secondaries that now try to deal with the Bulldogs, because that is a legit, not only a skilled receiver like Dominic Blaylock who can get separation and create separation on anyone, but he is a physical mismatch for even the best cornerbacks. He's going to be about 6'4", about 195 pounds. He can go up and get the ball. Great ball skills. The way he tracks the ball in the air, that's very strong. And what it gives Georgia, if Pickens tops out his potential while he's at Georgia, he's the type of player that can exceed the type of stuff that Javon Wims did for Georgia in 2017. He has the potential to be that special of a player.
Anything else you think we need to know before we let you go here, at least for right now? I know it gets really crazy in a couple hours, but for now, anything else you want us to know?
Did you have a camera on your face when you heard that news, Brandon? I'd love to see it. Slow-mo replay of that.
Yeah, we may have to go back and watch and see how much I reacted to that. It's been a fun morning, Jeff. It has been for sure. We'll look forward to seeing you on Before the Hedges a little bit later on today.
All right, guys. Been a good day.
And of course, don't forget Before the Hedges here on Dog Nation's video channel. It's presented by Kroger. And listen, we're getting close to Valentine's Day, and Kroger's got you taken good care of there with that. You know, hundreds of gift cards to choose from. You're sure to find the one that you're looking for that special someone in your life. Just make sure you check out your local Atlanta Kroger to take care of all your Valentine's needs. And guys, don't wait till like the very last minute. But if you do wait to the last minute, Kroger's still there for you. And you know what? There's no judgment. So go to Kroger and get taken care of for this Valentine's Day. I know that my heart is very full right now, and I'm very, very happy. John Anthony says Pickens is a huge flip. It is huge. Yeah, it really is. And it's a great time. John McMillan says Pickens is going to be a problem for anybody we play. It's a mismatch maker. Open up single coverage for other amazing wide receivers. And it does. And the phrase that Jeff uses at the end, I think, is really important. No disrespect to other players, but there is just something different. And Blaylock's this way, too. When you are a skilled, trained wide receiver, because if you watch the NFL, especially if you watch these X's and O's, like breakdowns and stuff, what constitutes being open for an NFL wide receiver is not the same thing it is in high school and college. It's more about how you turn your body and the crispness with the way that you run your route, the timing for which you break towards the ball. That's what open is in the NFL. And so the guys who are trained as receivers are also going to just function better in that role in college too. So this is not about, hey, go out and find me a five-star athlete and let's let Georgia teach him to be a wide receiver. Sometimes that works, and for Georgia, a couple times that's worked pretty well. But your best, biggest impact is going to be when you take someone who's grown up playing that position. This is wide receivers, not just about athleticism. It's also about skill. It's not just how fast you run. It's the way you run. It's not just your ability to catch the ball, but it's your ability to put yourself in a position to catch the ball. And there's something about being trained as a receiver that just really gives you that chance. That's what I like about Blaylock, and it's what I like about now George Pickens. These are trained receivers. Now, Jeff does not sugarcoat the other issues, and I'm fine with that, y'all. Scared money does not make money. And in this case, I'm gonna roll the dice with this a little bit. I'm going to assume that Kirby Smart knows what he's doing, and I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to assume this is all going to work out. What other choice do I have at this point in time? All right, so we'll do a couple more comments, and we'll get ready to get out of here. In fact, let's go ahead and do the official podcast close, and then we'll kind of take some comments the way that we typically do for a couple of minutes here. So let's wrap up the show and get ready to say goodbye to folks today, because on a day like this, you kind of got to make sure you do the Gatorator Updater. Florida fans, they're already feeling good about themselves. They flipped Chris Bogle from Alabama a little earlier today. They got their eye on Kyra Lam later on today. We'll see how that goes. But it's important to remember that Georgia does not stay down for long. And whatever Georgia was over the last couple of weeks, sometimes not always super excited fan base around here, that has kind of changed today. Georgia goes out and get itself a five-star receiver, extending the gap that already has with its SEC East rivals, Florida included. And that's a great time to remind you, many of you Gator haters just like me, it's now been 830 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have had anything to brag about when it comes to UGA. That number's going up, and you know what? We haven't given up on the idea that Georgia still gets Kyra Lam later on today as well. We'll see in one way or another. We'll be back tomorrow to talk to you right here on Dog Nation Daily. And on video.